What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Winner's Circle. I'm here with Jack Usher from The Anonymous. I haven't been interviewing too many people, but Jack, you were somebody I could not wait to talk to. So I'm super pumped to get into it.
I'm honored.
How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. You know, didn't win the game, but we had a crazy experience. It was so much fun. Never done anything like that. So yeah, how upset can we really be? It was a pleasure to play.
Listen, man, being the first person in the first cast to go through a show, like obviously they give you the breakdown, right? And I'm always gonna ask this because I went through it on Traders, but it's like you don't really know what you're getting yourself into. So what were you thinking? What kind of drew you into the show? What were you thinking? And then how did that differ from when you got there?
So what drew me into the show in the first place is I love these shows. All these reality game, social experiment things. That's my favorite type of show. So when I got the opportunity to try one out, I'm jumping in there. I'm a gamer also. So honestly, I feel like it being the first season of a show is maybe helpful for me because I think as we saw in the game, I had a little bit of an advantage of being able to sort of like formulate a strategy right away and run with something. And I think we saw on the show, like everybody else on the show is brilliant. And come maybe the second handle, you really start to see everybody else like figuring it out and coming into their own as players and having strategies. So I was lucky where, I'm the gamer. Not that I figured it out, but I like tried something and ran with it and it was really successful. And so in a sense, it being the first season of a show, I think benefited me in a way. I got to come in, try some stuff out that people weren't ready for. And it took them a second to catch up.
Yeah, listen, man, you were the innovator of the season for sure. You came in with the strategy. I think one of the things I want to touch on and let you dive a little bit deeper into was ultimately the strategy of get really close to Andy and then dog him in the anonymous chat. So I thought it was really great. I thought that was something, you know, as I watch these shows, it's really hard for me to just watch casually. I'm always like, what would I do? Oh, I like that. Oh, I don't like that. So was that something you had thought of beforehand or was it – because like I don't know how much they would tell you about the show and what kind of transpires on the show because this – you know, Traders was a new show, quote unquote, but was still a show. Like it wasn't like this. This is like – I don't know if this is anywhere in other countries and never seen before. So where did you come up with that strategy beforehand?
The only aspect I had come in with beforehand was that I was going to try and sound like I was pretending to be a guy. That was the only thing I was like, okay. I think that might be interesting. I'm going to try and pretend to be a woman pretending to be a guy. And so that's why I ran with football to start. Cause I was like, that feels like the most male gendered handle available. Yeah. And okay. I was, not all of it made it to the edit, but I was saying stuff like, well, this conversation sounds like a touchdown to me, which is like, that doesn't even mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so wait, hold on. I want to touch on that really quick.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of stuff that didn't make the edit that was going on in the chat and stuff? Okay.
In the chat,
I was always curious about that.
Yeah. So in the chat, maybe like 50%. And, okay. But I would say the most like inflammatory or like directed pointed things made it probably. But, you know, in the very first chat, people were saying a lot of nothing because I think they just didn't want to say it was like a lot of fluff. So I kind of came out of the gate with like, you know, I want people to think this way about my handle. So I'm going to give not fluff. In my opinion, there's like a couple strategies in this game. And one is to just leave your handle as like fully ambiguous. Like this could be anybody. I didn't want to play that way because like that could work. That could definitely work. But I thought it was a little too passive and kind of relied on chance. And I really wanted to like control the narrative in the game. So I went with a different strategy of like, make people think I'm this other person. And so I came locked and loaded with like, I'm going to try and sound like I'm a woman pretending to be a guy with like some gendered. I came in, my first line was, hey dudes, which incidentally is a word I say, but it gets a reaction out of other people. Dudes. And then you see Marcel in the edit write down, all right, well, that's a woman. I'm just writing that down right now.
Yeah.
So it worked. I don't know if it continues to work like as the game progresses, but that was the only thing I had come up with. And then as we got into it, I realized that I felt the outwardly most associated with Andy. And I felt like it might actually, it might still make sense for a woman to put Andy at risk. And so I was like, I feel like this story lines up and is as far away from me as possible, at least at this stage of the game. It's so interesting because as people like learn and develop, I don't know that that would work in the second handle at all. You know, people might just be like, that's Jack. But right out of the gate, it absolutely worked. Totally worked.
Yeah. Well, listen, like you were controlling the game before the first handle change. Right. And so you came out of the gate strong. You had that strategy. I want to say you were the anonymous twice.
I was the first two times. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, your strategy was clearly like well done, well executed. The handle change, I'm going to give you my opinion. I think, you know, now that there's another handle change, one, I thought the first handle change was too early in the game. I think there should only be two max because I'm like, bro, like people need to, this game is brand new anyway. Like you are doing a really good job and that handle change kind of adjusted you into, okay, what is the strategy that I'm going to take here? And then we weren't seeing you kind of get close to the anonymous, like you were smoking it in the first port. So did you feel that? Did you feel the anonymous chat kind of shift? How did you feel in the house?
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, to your point that it came to her, when they add new players, you have to do a handle change.
Right. And that's why I thought like, just send 15 people in first.
Maybe I could see it being different. How the show should be is a whole, I don't know. We'll see how
maybe you should be careful, but I could say it. You know, I could say this.
I can't. But
you're trying to get on the traders.
Like. Right, that's right. It come the handle change, it's interesting because I have to try something new. And I had so much success with my first strategy. And then I accidentally stumble onto like the strategy that Xavier was employing, which is the sound like Lily strategy.
Yeah.
Which it's double edged. It's so interesting. And because it gives her a lot of power in the game.
Right.
And we saw that play out.
And it did.
And it played out. And other people implemented my first strategy. Victoria did it brilliantly.
Yeah, she's still, I mean, you're watching that too. So, but I know, you know, hindsight. So, I mean, really, there's a lot of strategies that came. You were the front runner of it.
I appreciate it. So it's so interesting, like, as the show plays out and as you get to watch it back, do these strategies switch or pivot or become, for example, the strategy of get cozy up to one person and then absolutely throw them under the bus in the chat. That's a known strategy now. That's like one of the main ways to play this game successfully, apparently. Right. So if you were to see future iterations of this game, and now that we've seen that, would that be actually a very bad strategy where someone, for example, cozies up really close to one person? And if I'm coming into the game again, I'm going, okay, whoever, you know, that person's voting that person. That's what I just think.
I think the games evolve. Like, I think that strategy can be now used in a different way where if I went in, I'd be like, okay, I saw Jack do that. So now I'm going to maybe try to play and act like that's Jack, which can make it even harder for it to be you anyway.
100%. And that's sort of, in my mind, the beauty of this game where it's so open-ended.
Okay.
There's a lot, so many layers of like double bluffing, triple bluffing.
Right, right.
I want to say I had a strategy locked and loaded for the next handle change.
Okay, let's hear it. I want to know what it was.
All right.
And let's backtrack real quick. Were you planning, or did you know there was going to be another handle change?
I thought there'd be another handle change just because of how much time was left. You know, my brain's just going like, how would I do the show?
Love that. Now that's like, that's how winners' brains go in these shows.
Totally. Absolutely. So I'll tell you, I had a couple like thoughts of like how the game was going to play out. I knew there would be another handle change. At least I thought so. Mm-hmm. Specifically also because there were, after the first handle change, we were given the handles to pick from that were the remainder of the first batch of handles.
Okay.
So the first 12 that were picked off the list, but the rest were there.
Right. Right.
So when we got back in there, as I was picking my second handle, I was counting, being like, okay, so once these next 12 are gone, is there enough for, yeah, it turns out there's like another 12. So you, I think there's going to be another.
Brilliant, dude.
So let me hit you with this strategy that I think is interesting. So we saw a couple times people putting themselves at risk, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of
worked. We're starting to see it more like about like episode 7 on is when it's starting to be a thing.
Totally. And it can maybe work, but people really started doing it when they felt like they were going to be at risk anyways. So it's like, okay, then there isn't really risk associated with it. I was thinking about if I'm in the game and I don't catch an at-risk vote. As you could see, I was one of the players getting maximum one at-risk vote anytime, right?
Yeah.
So there's a decent chance I don't catch one and I could catch a stray. If I were to get into another handle change, part of me wonders, do you come into the chat and do you say something like, hey guys, it's Jack. It's been awesome playing with you guys. You know, I'm over the BS. I'm just hoping you guys bring me to the end. All love. I'm going to put an at-risk vote on myself. Do what you got to do.
Production would never allow that, ever. So, production be like, no, Jack.
Well, no, but here's the thing. Let me just tell you, regardless of whether they allow that or not, this was my idea. You ready? So I thought for me, then I thought, what if you come out and you're like, guys, that isn't me. And then I'm like, wait, there's actually no incentive to say it's not you. It's not you. Right? So,
bro, you're losing me. No,
okay. So if you came in and said, it's me, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And then you come out and you say something like, it's not actually me. If it weren't actually you, you wouldn't say that because you'd want to be the anonymous. You'd want people to be like, oh, is that you? Right?
Right.
So there's no incentive to say it isn't me. So, okay.
Because
so
take whether back, it's half and half, half people maybe are going to vote it to you anyway.
Exactly, the other
half
don't. So that kind of doesn't work. But you know what does work is come in and say something like, do that a whole strategy, but say, hey guys, it's Marcel. And I'm the same lines, and I'm just going to put a vote on myself, and good luck. And fingers crossed, I make it to the end. And here's what would happen is Marcel would play into it. And people would then people would ask themselves, would Marcel do that? And they'd be like, yeah, Marcel would do that. And all of a sudden, you're in this like, you know.
Yeah, but now you're also benefiting Marcel, because if people decide to vote it as him being the handle, he's the one that's ultimately going to be the anonymous. So that strategy kind of helps Marcel.
Right. But I think Marcel's one of the people who wouldn't take me out.
No. Okay. So I see what your point is. You're saying you would do it for somebody that you're almost like baiting them into being the anonymous, because you know you're getting protected by them.
Yeah. So it's interesting. That whole like strategy of really specifically pretending to be someone else, it works if you really know they're not eliminating you. Definitely gives them power though.
Right.
And
let me ask you this. Did you feel like the social component of being in the compound and being face to face? Cause like you clearly were coming up with all these different things to do in the anonymous mode, but how much weight did you put on the anonymous mode versus how much weight did you put on social face to face in the compound?
I definitely put weight on everything. I think you got to put weight on everything, but I'll tell you what I realized my skills were, and I definitely had weaknesses. And so I really tried to play to those. My skill was tricking people and getting the anonymous. That was the thing I was good at. I realized that really quickly. The thing that I'm not so good at is figuring out other people's handles. I came out thinking I was hot shit because I got the anonymous first, and I eliminated Sydney because I thought she was Wizard who put me at risk, and she was Wizard. And I'm like, oh, I've got this whole thing figured out. And then like the next four people who get eliminated when they reveal their handle, I've been wrong every time. And so you're like, oh, I know everything. You're like, I actually maybe am terrible at this game. It is what it is. So I think you really gotta play to your strengths. And everyone in this game had really different strengths. There are aspects of this game that I am terrible at, admittedly. And I think like how you did, I sort of like saw myself having a tough time getting to the end at a point. I saw it whittling down in a really difficult way for me. And I think I made a bad choice of trying to like influence people when my correct choice was probably to ease off and let events play out. So I recognized that was a weakness of mine in the game. I made bad choices there. I stand by, I think my best strength in the game was tricking people on who I was in the anonymous mode.
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning of the game, you killed that. But did you feel, because this is what I perception was watching the show, was that the game started to get to you a little bit. There was this like bubbly, fun Jack, you know, fired up in the anonymous mode. You had this like, you know, youthfulness to you, I'll say. And then all of a sudden it became like the game was starting to weigh on you. Like your face was like, I was like, bro, Jack looks like he looks like how I would see myself when I watched back traders. Like the game started to weigh on me. And I may be wrong. It may just be, it's hard to sleep because your mind is going, you're clearly, and I could just tell from this interview, your head goes at 180 miles an hour thinking about everything.
Yeah.
In the show, in the pressure cooker, it's worse. So was that affecting you? Did you feel like you slipped up because of that? Cause you know, that's what I was sensing when I was watching it. What are you? Is that, am I right feeling that?
You're spot on. I think this is just a me thing, but I saw the show as such this like life opportunity for me.
Okay.
In a way that I don't think anyone else did, because you see them get eliminated and they're like, oh shucks, you got me.
Yeah, you were not, that was the last thing I wanted to touch on, was your, was so organic and genuine, like utter frustration when you got.
Yeah.
You got eliminated.
Totally. So it got to the point where, I mean, this experience is so crazy. Like, none of it felt real for a while. And then you get to the point where you're like, oh, I'm doing really well. And I might win $100,000 and be on TV. And I'm this gamer who's proclaiming myself to be, you know, this smart, savvy, cool guy. And wow, people are going to get to see that. And that's like a life changing thing. Like, and
you got ahead of yourself, brother. You were thinking this
started really, started weighing. It wasn't even so much the, you know, sending people home sucked, but it was that because for me, this was such like a life affirming experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I don't know that anyone on these shows comes in as like, I'm the gamer. Like a bunch of people are like, I'm the Southern like fisherman, Christopher. He's like he's a literal fish out of water. In this experience.
Chris is just he's
you know crushing it in his own way, but
yeah, well now because people are trying to go the strategy that you talked about earlier of I want to try to beat Chris, and it's like it all of a sudden after episode 10, now I didn't watch episode 11 yet, but episode 10 I'm like, bro, they're handing this kid the anonymous almost. I don't know how it plays out, so I'm gonna get to it
100%. So I think for a lot of the people on the show and a lot of people who get cast on these shows in general, this isn't their like lifelong passion. Mm-hmm. And so to get to come on and play was, you know, an incredible privilege. And I got the anonymous the first two times and I'm like, whatever happens, I'm good. I showed up, I got to play. I feel amazing. And then it gets to the point where you're like, wow, I might win. Oh my God, I have to juggle with that now. And so it was, I absolutely had like a mentality issue 100%. I got a little carried away. I got a little sweaty with it.
So it wasn't, so you went full sweat mode. You didn't, I thought the game was like weighing on you a little bit, whereas like, you know, the stress of it, you know, people going that you were doing it to Andy. And I thought maybe there was, you know, conversations with Andy that we weren't privy to. Because obviously there's a lot going on the show. It's tough to get everything to the edit. And you were like dogging him. And it was affecting him. We were seeing it in the confessionals. And I thought maybe that was getting to you. Maybe with some other people it was getting to. But no, come to find out, it was just you going full sweat mode and getting ahead of yourself thinking about the buzz and the notoriety after the fact. And then you let it.
Hey, guilty as charged, sir. Guilty as charged.
I appreciate. Listen, I very much so appreciate the honesty of that. That's awesome, bro. You were great. Let me ask you this. I want to know how your headspace was and how long it took you to kind of come back down, because that's a high. Like you were definitely riding high. How long did it take you to come back down after the elimination and be like, okay, that was a cool experience. And then a second part of that is, what would you have done different?
Yeah, probably like a week.
Damn, that's pretty quick.
It was probably like a week. It took a minute though, for sure. I was bumming for a sec. And I also, you know, you get eliminated and you're like, you don't really know what happened. So getting to watch it back has been helpful. It's a sense of closure, if you will.
Yeah, totally.
And understanding. What would I have done different? Several things. I think I made so many mistakes.
I mean, obviously you could say that now. There, I don't think you made that many mistakes.
I think not a crazy amount, and definitely the mistakes I made were less than what I would call mistakes other players made, and I got a little bit unlucky. And I think players who have made bigger mistakes are still around because they lucked out. Like it is, that's part of the game. It's part of a lot of games. And
you were a threat. Other people can make mistakes if they're not a threat. How people viewed you. I think the only thing you could have done differently was like dumb yourself down. Like you were viewed as an intelligent, manipulative person.
I think that that's a big thing. I would say one of my big mistakes was partnering with Xavier for the stacking challenge.
Mm, okay.
I think that Xavier's a guy that I want to be friendly with, where he doesn't want to get me out, but I don't want to be associated with him because I think he's got the like good player shine on him.
Yeah, totally.
And so if you associate with him and become his guy, it rubs off on you, I think. And I think we kind of saw that a little bit. That's not everything, but it's definitely a mistake. Like, definitely not the play. I also didn't want to play for safety in that moment because I just got safety. And I didn't want to be the guy who is safe every time. That, I think, is too early to do
that. I'm like, when are they gonna see that on Nina? Like, Nina's safe all the time.
I don't know. So if I see anyone get safe twice in a row, I say to other people, whoa, they're safe all the time. They're really good at these games. So
right.
I felt like I didn't want to do that because I felt it was too early in the game and it wouldn't serve me long term. So then with that in mind, there's no reason to partner with Xavier if I'm not playing for safety. If you're playing for safety, maybe, then like, okay, partner with Xavier and go really hard for it, right? If not, no reason to. And it's a mistake.
But weren't you trying to kind of target him in that week? You were like, I want to make sure that he's not safe. Or was that just kind of like part of the fluff?
It was part of the fluff. So many of the things people say don't matter at all. Like, you just go with the flow. They're like, when the tide is coming, you just go with it, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be the fish swimming against the current where everyone's like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
So that sort of was well already in motion. I didn't set that off at all.
Okay.
I was never going to, but it was inevitable. Like,
I said it to him. Obviously, I have a great ex and I are very close. You know, we played a show. We did a show together, but we got very close just personally outside of it. And I had him on here and I was like, bro, these people let you last way too long. I would have been like, bro, get him out of this game.
Yeah, well, I mean, three of them were me, and I'm never eliminating him. So
yeah,
because he's my, you know, he's my shield.
Shield. Yeah, so, totally.
You know, he got that far because I was the anonymous three times, and then he was one time.
Interesting. So he was kind of. They didn't show that.
But it's so funny because I see comments online where they're like, how did people let him get this far into the game? And it's because I'm never eliminating him and I'm in charge. So,
well, I said that I would keep someone like, if I was someone like you that had not played the game and Xavier's this big fish, you keep him in the game because that shields you
totally
all day. You need a shield.
Totally.
You're a gamer, bro. You just get, what was your background again?
My background, I'm a tutor and I play games. that was my character study. I make videos on TikTok about board and video game like sketches and skits.
That's awesome, man. Well, listen, I mean, we're kind of wrapping it up here. This has been an incredible conversation. I feel like you are very entertaining. You have to be very fun to follow. And quite frankly, I'm going to champion you for another show.
Let's go.
I think you're great. So where can people find you? Find you on socials, TikTok. I feel like you would be a fun follow.
I'm on Instagram at Jack Usher. I'm on TikTok. TikTok's where I have most of my stuff at Jack_Usher. They made me do that underscore.
Yeah. I hate that. I had that on what used to be Twitter. I was like, Cody_Califuri. That sucks.
Yeah. Gotta respect.
I get it.
Gotta respect the underscore. I have nothing but love for the underscore.
Oh man, dude, this has been a blast. Listen, a lot of you, I know this is a new show. Make sure you are tuning in and checking out Jack. Watch his stuff. Go follow him. Really a big fan. I'm a big fan of you, bro.
Thank you, man. I'm a fan of yours.
Yeah, you got to go back and watch the Big Brother stuff
for sure.
If you have that commitment, if that's a commitment.
Yeah, right. People are saying I got to do Big Brother, and I'm like, I got a wife and a dog. I don't know.
It is tough. No, like honestly, the Traitors was I was really pissed off at myself because I didn't have the brass to do what needed to be done on the Traitors because I felt like I'd done it on Big Brother. So I was like, I went into Big Brother the second time and was like, I don't care who you are. I don't care if we're friends. I'm here to win. And then I went on the Traitors and I was like, I feel bad about people. And that's why I opened my mouth like an idiot when I know your biggest enemy is your mouth. Mm-hmm. I know that to a T. And that's why I'm pissed off that I did that on the traders, because I was like, dude, I kind of had the game. I was in there.
I feel like had the very similar trajectory on our shows, at least your traders iteration.
Yeah.
So it was definitely fun. The mouth is the enemy.
Always is. It always is. Let somebody else do the talking. You just got to stay quiet and observe. Jack, listen, man, I really appreciate you coming on here. I couldn't wait. I was kind of like, I wanted to see how far you would go. I was really hoping that I would get you on here as the winner, because then I feel like there was going to be more stuff that I would be able to pick your brain about. But I really appreciate you jumping on here and joining me here on the Winner Circle. So,
hey, man, I feel like a winner. That's actually a lie. No, I definitely lost. But thank you for having me on.
I hate to break it to you, Jack. You didn't win.
No.
No, brother. Listen, I really appreciate it. And listen, everybody here, I appreciate you joining us here on the Winner's Circle. And I will see you next time.
The new McCrispy strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy strip dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.